Good morning. It's good to see each and every one of you out this morning to hopefully worship God in spirit and in truth. We're grateful. Alana and I are grateful to have been able to get away a little bit last week. And certainly it was not the vacation that we had planned or hoped in coming back for Lisa's funeral, but we certainly did get to get away for a little while, and I would encourage us all to wrap our arms around Doug. He's going to have a difficult time with this. They were very close, and he certainly leaned on her a lot, and the kids and all of those things that go along with it, he's going to need us. And I would encourage us all to wrap our arms around Doug and help out in any way that we can, as it's going to be a difficult time for him moving forward. Appreciate Mark in the songs that he has led this morning, and all of them go very well with what we're going to be talking about this morning, and that is the idea of being wholehearted. You may notice the play on words a little bit. But there was a song by the group Extreme. Their probably most popular song was entitled More Than Words. If you never heard this particular song, it was another one of their ballads. I wouldn't suggest going and listening to anything else that they did. It was a very hard, heavy metal type of music that they sang. But these two songs in particular were ballady. So they were a little slower, a little softer, but they sang a song that was entitled Wholehearted, H-O-L-E, hearted. And the lyrics within the chorus, as it was repeated several times, were, "If I'm not blind, why can't I see that a circle can't fit in where a square should be? We can only patch a void with a same size or shape hole." And so that's the idea of the song, that a circle can't fit where a square should be, but yet the songwriter is suggesting that that's what I keep trying to do. I keep trying to fit this circle in where the square should be, and so there's still gaps, there's still holes. He continues, "There's a hole in my heart that can only be filled by you. And this hole in my heart can't be filled with the things I do." So the songwriter is saying of this young lady that you're what's going to fill my heart. You're what's going to fill the hole in my heart. But I keep trying to fill it with something else. And it's just never going to work when we try to do it that way. I wonder how many people, spiritually speaking, are wholehearted versus wholehearted. Where there's a hole in our heart. Instead of loving God with our whole heart, we leave gaps. We leave spaces. We try to fit something in that, well, this is a little bit of God. That circle kind of fits in there. Even though the hole in my heart is square, I'll try to fill it with a circle, and maybe that'll fill most of it and everything will be okay. If you were following along with Jude in the reading this morning, I believe that we can see that Amaziah was one of these people. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoaddan of Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord, yet not with a whole heart. Amaziah tried to serve with a H-O-L-E, whole heart. Amaziah was the son of Joash, if you remember. Joash was the one that was hidden from his grandmother Athaliah, who was trying to take over the kingdom and basically killed all of her children and grandchildren so that she could have the throne. And while Jehoiada, the high priest, was there, Joash was a pretty good king. He did a lot of good things. But then after Jehoiada died, he actually started listening to some pretty poor advice. And he ended up at the end of his life not being such a good king. In 2 Kings chapter 14, we read of Amaziah, he did right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like his father, or not like David his father. He did according to all that Joash his father had done. Only the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense on the high places. He didn't go all the way in serving God, but it says he wasn't like David his father. He was like Joash his father, where he did some of the things that God wanted him to do, but did not serve God with a whole, W-H-O-L-E, heart. I believe Amaziah is a great example of how bad things can happen to us when we try to serve God with a whole in our heart instead of with our whole heart. David, as he is trying to encourage his son Solomon to take over his kingdom, he gives him this advice in 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thought. If you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. David encouraged his son Solomon to serve God with a whole heart, with his whole heart, which I believe is the first and great commandment that God has given us. Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38, Jesus, when he was asked the question, what is the greatest commandment, said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. But yet, how often do we try to serve God with a hole in our heart, H-O-L-E? Hopefully we'll understand the difference between those by the time we get done. I believe that most of us as Christians try to do the sum of what God wants us to do. But there are these holes in our heart that instead of filling them with God, we try to fill them with other things. And I believe Amaziah is a good example of that. Amaziah was very eager for war as he began his kingdom in 2 Chronicles 25 and verse 5. And if you have a mark in your Bible, 2 Chronicles 25 would be a great place to put it, because we're going to be coming back and forth throughout the lesson this morning. But notice what his first act was when it talks about him being promoted to king. Moreover, Amaziah assembled Judah and appointed them according to their father's households, under commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds throughout Judah and Benjamin. He took a census of those from 20 years old and upward and found them to be 300,000 choice men, able to go to war and handle spear and shield. And so the first thing that he does is he decides that he is going to go to war, because David had actually conquered Edom, but under Jehoram, his grandfather, Jehoram lost it during a revolt of Edom. Edom revolted and basically set themselves up with their own king. And so the first thing that Amaziah says is, I'm going to go get them back. And so he takes this census. Now, there was really only a couple different reasons to take a census, and they weren't actually supposed to take a census. David got in trouble for this. They weren't supposed to take a census unless it was under the instructions of God. But one of the reasons that you would take a census of your people, especially those who were men 20 years and upward, is so that you knew how many soldiers you would have to go to war with. And that's the first thing that he does. But he didn't really trust the 300,000 that God had given him. And so in verse 6 we see he hired also 100,000 valiant warriors out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. And so here the king of Judah enlists some soldiers from the northern kingdom of Israel. Say, hey, why don't you come down and fight with us? God was not going to be happy about that. We begin to see that Amaziah has this hole in his heart. God had given him 300,000 soldiers, which basically God was going to be with them when they went into Edom to take Edom back. But God would have given it to them with the 300,000 that he had already counted. But instead, he thought to himself, that's not enough. I'm going to hire some soldiers. I'm going to hire some mercenaries to go with us. Now, notice verses 7 and 8 of 2 Chronicles 25. But a man of God came to tell him, saying, O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, nor with any of the sons of Ephraim. This is going to be important later on. But if you do go, do it. Be strong for the battle, yet God will bring you down before the enemy, for God has power to help and to bring down. He says, these men that you've hired, don't take them with you. Don't use them. But you know, I think we get like this sometimes. He already paid these men. He already hired them. And so now he's going to balk at this command because I've already spent some pretty good money on these soldiers. And so I want to use them. And so I wonder how many times we have involved ourselves in some sort of sin and said, well, you know what? I've already spent the money. Maybe we realize a few minutes into this movie, you know what? I shouldn't be watching this movie. This is not a good movie. But we say, you know, I already bought the ticket. And because we've already spent money on it, we sit in the theater when we know we shouldn't. We buy a DVD or whatever it is. We buy a book and we get halfway through the book and say, you know, probably shouldn't be reading this. But I've already spent the money and I've already invested all of this time into this book. So I need to finish reading it. Well, Amaziah basically is saying, you know what? I already spent the money on these soldiers. I really don't want to send them back. Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the troops of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord has much more to give to you than this. You're not even going to notice that it's gone. Then Amaziah dismissed them. The troops which came to him from Ephraim to go home. So their anger burned against Judah, and they returned home in fierce anger. He eventually, yes, does send them away, but they're not going to be happy about it. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22, we read, it is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. As he's being told in 2 Chronicles 25, he basically is told by this man of God, you know what? God will give you more than what you've spent on these soldiers. It'll all be okay. But when he sends these men away, as we mentioned earlier, they're not very happy about it. Well, why are they unhappy about it? They got their money and now they don't have to go to war. What's not to be happy about? Well, the issue is that basically at least half of their pay was from looting, right? You think about a waitress maybe, and you go into a restaurant and they may make a very small wage, but then they get to keep all of their tips, right? That's how many waitresses make their money. But how often do some go in and say, well, they're already making a wage, right? Well, a lot of their wage is made up in that tips because they make a very small minimum type wage just for being there in the hours. But in serving the tables, that's where they make their money, is on the tips. Well, soldiers in a war, yes, they may have gotten paid a little bit, but hey, when you go out and defeat this army, you can take all of their stuff. You can take their clothes. You can take anything that they've got on them. Now that their homes have been overrun and there's no one in that, you can have that home. You can go in and loot their home and take everything that they have. And so these men understand that, yes, while I've got a little bit of pay and I haven't had to do anything, more of my pay was going to come from looting. But I want us to understand that our choices will always have consequences. Amaziah has already made this decision without seeking instruction from God. And he already hired these men. Already got them in the mindset of this is how much money we can make by going and winning these battles and looting our enemies when we're done with them. Then notice what happens beginning in 2 Chronicles 25 and 13. But the troops whom Amaziah sent back from going with him to battle raided the cities of Judah. So while Amaziah and his soldiers go off to war with Edom, these soldiers that he hired decided, you know what, we'll just loot you. And they took stuff from the cities of Judah, from Samaria to Beth Horon, and struck down 3,000 of them and plundered much spoil. We may look at that and say, well, that's not fair, God. He at least sent them back. A decision has already been made by Amaziah without looking for the instruction of God. What should I do in this situation? He already hired these men, and so there are going to be consequences for that. That's going to be important later on as well. Here's what he does when he takes Edom. Notice with me again in 2 Chronicles 25 and verse 14. Now after Amaziah came from slaughtering the Edomites, he brought the gods of the sons of Seir, or the Edomites, set them up as his gods, bowed down before them, and burned incense to them. Now we may have to ask ourselves, what was Amaziah thinking in this moment? Now think about this. They had just gone in to Edom and destroyed them. Oh, hey, here's the Edomite gods. Let's take them and begin to worship them. Well, this God's people have already lost to you in a battle. Why would you want to worship something that has lost? I believe this is more of spite toward God because of what had happened. And a lot of people will speculate that it is because of a retaliation from the people that he hired, looting them while they were gone. Because those verses are back to back. But I want you to look with me at Isaiah 44, starting in verse 14. Again, speaking of idols in general, idols never make sense. Isaiah 44, starting in verse 14, surely he cuts cedars for himself and takes cypress or an oak and raises it for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants a fir and the rain makes it grow. Then it becomes something for a man to burn. So he takes one of them and warms himself. And he also makes a fire to bake bread. He also makes a god and worships it. This is all from the same tree. Right? You plant this tree, it grows, you take care of it, it grows up, it becomes firewood, it becomes a place where you can cook food. And he says he also makes a god out of it to worship it. He makes a graven image to fall down before. Half of it he burns in the fire. Over this half he eats meats and roasts, and is satisfied. He also warms himself and says, aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire. But with the rest of it, he makes into a god, his graven image. He falls down before it. He worships it. He prays to it. He says, deliver me, for you are my God. They do not know, nor do they understand. For he, speaking of God, has smeared over their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot comprehend. No one recalls, nor is there any knowledge or understanding to say, I have burned half of it in the fire, and I have also baked bread over it, coals. I roast meats and eat it. Then I make the rest of it into an abomination. I fall down before, notice what he says, a block of wood. It's nothing. Idols don't make sense. Right? He said, this thing used to be a tree. You cut down, you used half of it as firewood. Right, you used half of it to warm yourself. You used half of it to cook something over. Then you fashioned an idol out of it, decided to pray to it, worship to it. And you sit down and kneel in front of a block of wood. What sense does that make? And I believe it's the same question that we can ask of Amaziah. What are you thinking? It's a block, maybe not necessarily of wood. It may have been some sort of stone or metal of some sort. But what are you thinking? It doesn't make sense. So God again sends this prophet to rebuke him. In verse 15, then the anger of the Lord burned against Amaziah, and he sent him a prophet who said to him, why have you sought the gods of the people who have not delivered their own people from your hand? You're taking, you know, the people that lost, and you're stealing their gods and worshiping the gods that have lost. Why would you do that? Then Amaziah threatens this man from God. As he was talking with him, the king said to him, have we appointed you a royal counselor? Stop. Why should you be struck down? Why should I kill you right now? Then the prophet stopped and said, I know that God has planned to destroy you because you have done this and have not listened to my counsel. You sealed your own fate. I know what God is planning to do to you. Then his heart turned to revenge. Notice in 2 Chronicles 25, he begins to think about getting back at those men that he has hired. Then Amaziah, the king of Judah, took counsel and sent to Joash, the son of Jehoaz, the son of Jehu, the king of Israel, saying, come, let us face each other. Joash, the king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, the thorn bush which was at Lebanon sent to the cedar which was in Lebanon, saying, give your daughter to my son in marriage. But there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trampled the thorn bush. You said, behold, you have defeated Edom, and your heart has become proud and boasting. Now stay at home, for why should you provoke trouble so that you, even you, would fall and Judah with you? But Amaziah would not listen, for it was from God, that he might deliver him into the hand of Joash because they had sought the gods of Edom. So in Amaziah's mind, he says, you know what? I don't need God. He doesn't have God on his side. The only gods that he has at this point are the ones that he took from Edom that have already lost. And he wants to go and harm God's people, the Israelites, the northern tribe. And good for the king of the northern tribes of Israel, which had no good kings. But he said, stay home. There's no reason for you. You've become boastful because you've beaten Edom. Don't forget, you came to us to hire some of our soldiers because you didn't think you could do it on your own. So why would would Amaziah go without God to try to defeat God's people? I believe it's at this point that he realized that wholehearted, H-O-L-E hearted service is not going to work toward God. Amaziah was a fair weather follower of God. Starting in verse 21, so Joash, king of Israel, went up, and he and Amaziah, king of Judah, faced each other at Beth Shemesh, which belonged to Judah. Judah was defeated by Israel, and they fled each to his tent. Then Joash, king of Israel, captured Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Jehoaz, at Beth Shemesh, and brought him to Jerusalem and tore down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. He took all the gold and silver and the utensils which were found in the house of God with Obed-Edom, and the treasure of the king's house, the hostages also, and returned to Samaria. Basically, the king of Israel takes everything that he has and takes them back to his home, including the king himself. How many of us are fair weather followers of God? When we only follow God when things are going well. That seems to be what Amaziah is all about. He did good for a while, just like his father Joash had done. But it didn't last, because things didn't always go his way. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, we're told, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We need to continue to draw closer and closer, nearer and nearer to God. Think about the children of Israel in the wilderness and how fair weather they were. In Psalm 78 and verse 34, it says, when he killed them, then they sought him and returned and searched diligently for God. And they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God, their Redeemer. But they deceived him with their mouth and lied to him with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast toward him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. As long as things are going well, we'll follow you. But when things start not going our way, we move away. In the case of the children of Israel, in this case, it was kind of the exact opposite. Well, things aren't going so well, so maybe we should reach out toward God. Oh, things are going better now, so maybe we can walk away from him. I says, no. I need you to follow me with your whole heart in both times of distress and when times are going well. But notice what verses 38 and 39 say about God. But he, speaking of God, being compassionate, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. And often he restrained his anger and did not arouse all his wrath. Thus he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes and does not return. Do you see how faithful, how kind our God is? Even with fair-weathered Christians, God says, I'll forgive you. I'm compassionate. I don't want to destroy you. He will restrain his wrath and his anger. And he remembers that we are but flesh. So the question for us today is, what about you? Are we H-O-L-E, wholehearted? Or are we W-H-O-L-E, wholehearted servants of God? Are we following God because it's convenient? Do we turn when adversity strikes and turn and walk away? Or do we draw near to him so that he can draw near to us? We don't want to be fair weather Christians. We don't want to follow for a little while in the case of Amaziah, feel good about it, and say, well, everything should be okay now because I did a little for God. No, God wants our whole heart. He wants everything about us. Our song that we're going to sing in just a moment asks us a question. Is thy heart right with God? Only we can answer that for ourselves. When adversity strikes, do we disobey because we're already invested in the world? Do we lack trust in God and do things to spite God because we're angry with him, because we feel that he's done something to us, even though it may have been our decision that caused it in the first place? Do we realize that wholehearted service is not going to work, but that we need our whole heart to serve God? If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, we certainly encourage you to become one today. To begin that walk, to begin that journey of serving God with your W-H-O-L-E, whole heart. If you're a child of God who has fallen away, maybe haven't served God with your whole heart, maybe have left a H-O-L-E hole in your heart that needs filled back up with God. If you need the prayers of the saints here, we're willing to pray with you, we're willing to pray for you, help you get on the right track. It is Father's Day today, a day where we celebrate our earthly fathers. Appreciate my dad being here. I can't always get out on Father's Day and Mother's Day, so I kind of have to make them come and travel here. I appreciate him being here and getting to celebrate Father's Day with him. But how much better our Heavenly Father. If you have not yet given honor to your Heavenly Father by becoming a child of His, You can do that this very morning. Or maybe you haven't been the son or daughter that you know that you should have been. You can make that right with your God, your Heavenly Father, this very morning. If you're here and subject to God's invitation in any way, please come to the front seat while we stand and while we sing.